All right, let's review the Tosos, because so what's Tosos' issue? We've had a kasha like this before, if you recall, a similar situation back in the Bechor Sugya. Tosos asked a similar type of question, like why ask this question when you could just ask this other question? So what's the question here? So he's saying like this: we know in the Gemara we did in Sota tells us that Yerushalayim is never a city that you measure Egla Rufa to. Okay, it's off the Egla Rufa list. Why? Because of Yerusha, right? And we know that Yerushalayim, I'm not going to get into this, okay? It's a fascinating sugya in itself, but Yerushalayim was belonged to no Shvatim, okay? It was a different kind of city. So we'll get to that. We're going to get to the Gemara and Sota after you finish Tosos, okay? So how do you know Yerushalayim's excluded? You know Yerushalayim's excluded because of Yerusha. So Tosos asks here, he says, well, why would you need a drush for that? Why do you have to learn out from this idea of Yerusha and that Yerushalayim is not considered one of the part of in any Shevet land? That's not the reason why. There's a more basic reason why. Yerushalayim was nestled in the hills, okay? As we know, anyone who's been to Yerushalayim, especially when you take Highway 1, right? That's what you really experience going into the hills. Although 4432, but I'm saying 1 is really, you really experience that. So ask the question about Yerushalayim. Why? Okay, so we know by Yerushalayim, what could never happen by Yerushalayim? Because what could you never have in Yerushalayim? You can never have what phenomenon? Rov. Why can't you have Rov in Yerushalayim?
You need like a stagnant metric.
Okay, what are we looking for, right? What are we looking for when we're looking for the killer? We're saying, okay, well, let's take the normal city case, right? The corpse is near a city. What we're going to say is the citizen of Ganapolsky town, right? A Ganapolsky was a potential murderer. Because in Ganapolsky town, you have 100 Ganapolskys. Right? I just say Ganapolsky a lot of times. You have 100 Ganapolskys in Ganapolsky town. But in you, right? And then if I went to Yudi town, right, I'd say there's 200 Yudis there, right? But the point is that we're looking for a citizen of Yudi town as a potential murderer. The problem with Yerushalayim is that by being, as Claude just said, an international city, you can never have Rov. Because what are you going to say?
Everywhere else.
No, in the city. See, in the city itself, who do you have in the city at any given moment? Who do you have in the city? You have, okay, so let's say you have Yerushalayim, you have Yudis and Ganapolskis and Shans. You have people from cities all over the country, all over the world in Yerushalayim. So how could you ever determine Rov? That's why Yerushalayim would never be included as an Egla Rufa city. Again, right, okay, right. Nurse Tosos is saying this is the question. You don't need to have a drush of Yerusha. This is how you learn. Right? Yerushalayim can never be an Egla Rufa city because you can never have Rov. It's impossible. Because Rov means that let's say I have a city a mile away with 100 people, and let's say a city 5 miles away with 1 million people, right? That city of 1 million people, we'll call it Yudi City. They're all Yudis. They're all Yudi citizens. So that would be a Rov. That's a Rov, because I could say most likely the murderer came from Yudi town. But not Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, at any given moment, what do you have? You have some Yerushalayim people, but you also have lots of Yudis and Ganapolskis and other and Yehonatans who are coming in and out. So how can you ever use Rov? That's why Yerushalayim would be excluded. Okay? Now, as I mentioned last time, cards on the table. The first answer, I have a svar for. The second answer, good luck. I have no idea what to say. Honestly, I tried. At a certain point, as a dear friend of mine once told me, sometimes you have to be satisfied and say, listen, I tried and that's it. But let me go over the factual answers. The first answer is that, well, in Yerushalayim, it's true that people came into Yerushalayim, but everyone came through, let's say, one gate. But there was an upper area, like the northern part of Yerushalayim, where people didn't come through. Meaning, there are areas of Yerushalayim that are discrete Yerushalayim people, and no one else is in that area. Not that they're xenophobic, but no one else is in that area, okay? So what? Why does that help us? Because at the end of the day, what about the problem of Rov? You want to say that so badly, don't you? But the problem is that if you go down that road, but to start dividing up cities into parts is very bizarre. Tosus is saying that Yerushalayim is back on the table for Egla Rufa. If you say there's a neighborhood discrete for Yerushalayim people, and then you need the Gemara and Sota to teach you why Yerushalayim is off the table.
Yes.
Is that clear? I'm going to emphasize this. Tosus is saying the better question to ask is Yerushalayim's never a Rov city. Okay? Now he demonstrates why Yerushalayim would be a Rov city because of this answer number one. If Yerushalayim is a Rov city, then the question, then the Gemara now has to go back and push Yerushalayim out of being an Eglah Rufa city. And it does that by learning out from Yerusha. Okay? So again, I want to understand the answer number one. Tosus is saying, he says, Shahayu Mekomo Shalahayu Regil Mavo Rak B'nei Yerushalayim. There are certain areas that only Yerushalayim people went to. So what? So what? And then the second answer, I don't know how to answer this. Second answer is that there were certain times, certain periods of time where there were only Jews in Yerushalayim. Right? So because, now I don't know how that makes sense on the surface, because why does that help us? Because you're going to say what? During that period of time?
Like in 2012, the city, the mountain city had like 100 people come. Like 10 years later, does that affect like how we...
Right, but why is it... But this one compromised Rove. Let's say Tosos is insane because there are non-Jews in Yerushalayim. That's why it's not Rove. He's just saying the city has a very diverse population, right? So what's the answer here? So what's the second answer saying? Like, so what? What do I care that there's a period of time of the year that I don't even know why it means if for 1 year, right, there are only Jews in Yerushalayim, why does that help us? I don't know. Perfect. Maui. Maui would be Jerusalem, right? If you go to Maui, right? Yeah, if you go to Maui. So Maui, you would say the tourist population on any given day is probably substantial, right? So that being the case, you would say, how can Maui ever be a Rove city? Okay, so but we are searching for Rove. Now, Tosos's question is that if I look at Yerushalayim, Rove means the we go by the majority.
Okay.
Meaning, most probably, the murderer came from Yerushalayim. Okay. Now, you can only make that assessment, right, if you look at the city and say, well, people, like, there was, let's say the murder took place a month ago, right? So you're going to look to the people who live in the city and say, these are the people most likely who committed the murder. Someone who's from Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim has millions of people, so to speak, going in and out constantly. It's like Penn Station or Grand Central Station. Tosos is saying in his answer, his first answer, he's saying that, well, if you look at Yerushalayim, it's true that there's tons of people coming in and out. That's true. But even though that's the case, there's still areas of Yerushalayim where these people don't go to. And because they don't go to those areas, we can therefore say Rove still works. We can point to Yerushalayim and say, most probably the murderer came from Yerushalayim. My question is, why does that work? That doesn't make any sense. Because you could say, well, there's tons of people coming in and out. Something you probably never thought about before, but that you will next time you do this, okay? Ever drive through a city? Yeah. Let's say you're going from Memphis to New York. Well, I'll say Louisville, whatever. Memphis to New York. So let's say on the way you drive through, for whatever reason why, Teaneck, okay? Now, when you drive through a city, there's two ways you can look at it, okay? You can say either, this is a svara I worked out years ago in a case on Avodah Zarah, but anyway, there's two ways you can look at it. You can say, are you, when you enter the city, are you at that moment in time a member of the city, so to speak? By you being, you're driving through it, you're in the city, so you become part of the general population, and then when you leave, you've exited the city? Or because you're traveling through, you never actually become part of the city. Is there a moment in time where you can actually, even though you've entered and exited the boundaries of the city, there's no point in time you can really define, even if you went to a rest station and stayed at a hotel. Question is, do we ever define yourself as actually being part of the city, right? Another example of this, by the way, is by the case of, by Sukkos, by Holchei Drachim, when you take a trip, right? When you're traveling, right? Even when you stay at a hotel, right? You're defined as a traveler. You're not really part of a mukum. Anyway, it's a similar idea here. Which I think that there's two ways you can look at what we mean by an international city. Do we mean that because there's a transient population coming in, so what do you have in the city? You have some Jerusalemites and some people who are non-Jerusalemites. That's what an international, but you have them coexisting. That idea of them coexisting is subsumed underneath this identity called international city. International city means, like I think what you said, like there are people from Jerusalem who are Jerusalemites. There's no question about it. But we can't isolate any single citizen. We can say it's all one big population, right? If there's one big population, how could we ever use Rove? But the other way to look at it is to say that no. The population that comes into Jerusalem, when you come in for Aliyah LeRego, you're never actually in Yerushalayim. I mean, you're in the city, but you're not, from a citizen standpoint, you never register as a member of Yerushalayim. So the only population we worry about it's not the neighborhood. It's that since there's areas of Yerushalayim, so to speak, that are exclusive to the citizens, we could point to there and say, well, we have citizens and then we have foreigners. Right? Foreigners meaning they're guests. They're, as you put it, like, like you were saying, Claude, like international commerce, international this, but they're not part of the city itself. Okay? The city hosts, people. but they never actually become part of the city. So when we look for Rove, we can isolate the Jerusalem population, because we could say in the very character of the city itself, there's never an actual, there are areas where there's no coexistence. But why is that important? It's important because now we can say that it's Yerushalayim that hosts people from other cities, but they're never part of Yerushalayim. Okay? Excellent. It's like a census, right? We don't count the tourists in the census. But then the Gemara gives its own answer, the one that Yudi kept crying about, right? How do you know? So now we have to show why Yerushalayim is not a rose city. So why is Yerushalayim excluded? So the Gemara says, the Amar Kral, the Rishta, the Kasabar, Yerushalayim, lo nischaka l'shvatim. So I ask you, what is that? How is that a valid answer? I mean, what's the Havi and Maskana here? The Gemara is saying, you know, we know Yerushalayim was not mischalik l'shvatim, right? Meaning that no Shevet got Yerushalayim. So the Havi that would seem to say that doesn't matter, right? The Maskana say, no, it matters. Why does it matter? Why does it, what does that tell us about? If anything points to this as being an international city, it's this idea, but in a different way. It's a different idea of international here. It's not the. What's that? Yeah, it doesn't want any shave it. Yeah. The Havin is what Clark's saying. Havin is simple, right? What's an ear? An ear is where people live. And that's. Now, here's the thing, which you guys seem to have forgotten, okay? Egel and Rufa can only take place where? In Eretz Yisrael, okay? Now, is the city of Jerusalem physically within the borders of Eretz Yisrael? Yes, so therefore Egel and Rufa should apply. But it's something really weird about Egla Rufa, about Yerushalayim. Something very odd about it. Well, okay?
There's two ways you can look at Eretz Yisrael. You either say...
Good. Right.
...a unified entity, or is it 12 Shvatim's land?
Okay, so if you say Eretz Yisrael is really like Canada, right? Or even like the United States. You have Canada's a better example because they're really federal districts. But even like the United States, you have states, right? Now, what's Washington, D.C., in comparison to the states? What's Washington D.C. status? What's D.C. status? It's not a state. I know, but here's the thing. Is it part of the United States of America?
Yes.
Okay. Physically, you can say it's within the borders. Conceptually, it's not. It's not. It's not because, by definition, America is defined by states, right? Israel is defined by a Shevet zone, right? There are 12 zones. Is Yerushalayim, therefore, is actually, even though physically it's in the borders of Israel, conceptually it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. It's not part of Eretz Yisrael. See, it's abstracted from Eretz Yisrael. That's why it couldn't be given to a Shevet. By the way, like Vatican City, correct, yes. But it goes far enough to say, as far as I say it goes, because I would say I mean, not to get into philosophy, but I'm just saying this obviously, intuitively, this makes a lot of sense because Yerushalayim is all about Avodas Hashem and temple service and all the Jews being able to go there and access God, et cetera, et cetera. All that stuff points to an idea of Yerushalayim being abstracted from Eretz Yisrael. It's like Eretz Yisrael is comprised of 12 zones. If this city's not part of the zone, then it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. See, my Svara fits in, I think, very well with the Halacha, because Halacha is Egla Rufa can only happen to cities in Eretz Yisrael. So the whole question is, okay. Is Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael or not? Depends what you mean.
Right,
if
right.
Yes. All right. Now this is... Oh, okay. Yeah, now this is very strange. At least I get this set up for tomorrow. Okay, because there's one more day. We have one more day of this, by the way. Tomorrow, I think, is the last day for Egla Rufa. So, yeah, because we're going to hit the next Mishnah. Okay. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah was very odd, right? If I recall, the Mishnah said that... what do you call it? That... that if you find the Rosh, you come across a decapitated body, okay? Now, the head's there, and the body's here, okay? Or the head's in A, and the body's in B.
And the head's closer to one
C. So the Mishnah said, Nimsa Rosh b'makom echa, v'gufo b'makom acher, molichin harosh eitzal guf de Rebbe Elazar. So Rebbe Elazar says, what do? You take the head and bring it next to the body. And then Rav Akiva says, no, you take the body and bring it next to the head. So again, you have two stationary objects, you have head and body. Question is, what do you bring to what and then measure from? Okay? So what does the Gemara say? Nimsa Rosh
Abimakam.
Right. So what? So the Gemara is saying, what's their argument? You can't say what? You can't
just say that where are we measuring from, because we already talked about that. That's later or earlier.
Because the Seifa is going to talk about the issue of where you measure from. So this can't be an issue of Medida. This cannot be an issue of where you measure the corpse from. Okay? And that's what you thought it would be. Okay. So listen to the answers.
Amar of Yitzhak. The mitzvah.
Okay, so you need a little, you literally need a 1 second background here. We'll stop in a second, but when it comes to mace mitzvah, if you come across a corpse, okay, you're chayev to bury the body where it is. Where it is, okay? We're not going to get into how that institution works, but the point is, that's the halacha. Halacha is where it is. But now you have a problem. What's the problem? The head's there and the body's here. So how do I fulfill mace mitzvah konam komo if the body's split in two, so to speak? So the Gemara says, keep going. Okay, now what's the rationale? Why would I say A to B or B to A? So the Gemara says, my kamiflige.
What are they arguing
about? No, resha did not deva nafil. Okay, so what happened? So
his body kind of falls where it is, and his head rolls.
Yes, and the head rolls away. Okay.
Umar savar resha hecha did not feel nafil gufa who did rahi
falls away.
So his
right.
head falls and his body walks. His body just continues.
It spends a couple extra seconds running around. Yeah. Okay, and then falls down.